Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
For one SEC program, used to far more respect. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on Wednesday. Where are you listening? Thank y'all. Appreciate it. Did I give you the total yet? I haven't been paying attention. And forever and ever, I kept thinking, I keep saying 9 states and 56 sticks. I told you it was 58, and then I think it was Monday of this week, or maybe it was yesterday. I was told, no, it's 60 now. I was like, oh, okay. So 9 states, 60 sticks. Everybody say ho. Good for us. I said a tough reality. So thank y'all for that, because that's everybody doing that. Thank y'all. For one SEC program, used a lot more respect than they are getting on so many fronts right now. Truth is, nobody cares about you anymore, UF. And the comments that I'm about to make, the mustard seed, this was supposed to be like in radio talk. When you have a little blurb, it's either called, like, Dan is a producer and a host. And so when he's producing, he'll say this to me. When he's hosting, a producer will say to Dan, he's like, hey, this is a little back-end thing. That means you have a segment that's like 12 minutes. And a back-end is like, you're not going to use a whole 12 minutes. So this is the final minute or two. This is a back-end. That's a little blurb. That's all this was supposed to be, a little back-end topic. You have 12 minutes. You talk about the main thing for like 9 of them, and then the little back end. Oh, yeah, by the way, this was supposed to be a little back end topic. All this was sort of a funny reference to whoever it was, and Dan gave me the name the other day, and I didn't write it down. It was like something like Big Daddy Gator 1986, something. And the mustard seed of what I realized is way bigger than the mustard seed was Dan and I were joking, actually. Maybe it was Monday of this week, or Friday, maybe. And there was a tweet after Utah and the Pac-12 announced, without consulting Florida, hey, we're going to play this game on Thursday night because the Pac-12 network needs some inventory and we can trade off of the SEC. And nobody asked UF. And the reason is, they didn't have to ask UF, but you kind of need to ask people. When you're going to make a fundamental change, like, you got to do something like that. But, and if it was Bama, they'd done it. If it was Ohio State, they would have done it, et cetera. That's why I say nobody cares about you anymore, UF. You are just another opponent who, oh, SEC, well, we can trade off of that and increase our viewership. So this was supposed to be a reference to an online post that I made my notes the other day, and I'm going to read what I wrote down. And this is pretty close because there was smoke coming off my fingers. Dan was reading this thing to me. And so, like, whoever it was, Big Daddy Gator or something on Twitter. So there you go. Dan said, did you see what this – and he said there was a lot of this, by the way. He spun the wheel. He picked one. When Utah and the Pac-12 said, yeah, what you think really doesn't matter. Florida fan base they were very much put off. And part of it was at the Pac-12, but part of the fan base was put out with the administration and the coaching and everybody else in Gainesville. How have you let our program get here? So here is the online post from just a frustrated Gator fan who I pointed at and laughed and said, oh, you're the worst of Twitter. Lowest point in program history. With Billy Napier, we're going to get taken for a ride. He's in way over his head. Folks, angry fan on Twitter was right. At least the first part. Now, I'm going to say lowest point in program history. Lowest point in program history in my history. Pretty dang close to it. Like, how old are you? And I asked David about three times a day. David, how old are you? I think he's 29. So let's say David's 29. David was born in 1993 or 1994. Guess what? This is the lowest point in program history for David's history. Dan's slightly older. He's like 37, 38 or something. Yeah. So let's say Dan was born in 1985. Is that right, Dan?
That's correct.
Hey, how about that? There was the end of the Galen Hall thing, and then Steve Spurrier. So I don't know. When Dan was four, they got Spurrier. This is the lowest point in program history in Dan's history. It's true. And it's not just the disrespect from the Pac-12, because as we mused the other day and we had a little laugh, guys, Florida State and the ACC did the same thing to them last year, the end of last season when they moved that game to Friday night. So Florida doesn't have the cachet anymore. People don't look at the Gators and go, whoo, I want to sing the song they're singing. I want to walk on the same side of the street that they're walking on. It's not what it is anymore, and it hurts my heart. You know, and now I don't go back to the 60s and the white helmet and the F and all that stuff. You know what warms my heart? When a really high-quality Florida team is running around Florida field, I mean just passing licks, and it's the orange helmet with the blue script and the orange jersey, and then either the white pants or the orange pants, that's fine. But that just, because that's what it's supposed to look like to me. And so when I say lowest point in program history, almost in my history, there might have been a one-fer or maybe even an o-fer, and Charlie Pell showed up and turned things around. And so since I've understood what really football, how you win football, because Charlie Pell was a good coach. He'd lie just as soon as he would breathe in air, but he was a good person. He couldn't force himself. No, he wasn't interested in following the rules. He couldn't force himself to follow the rules. No, he didn't care to. He's like, why would I follow the rules? I get better players if I don't. He knew exactly what he was doing, believe me. And like I said, a really good coach, but he just kind of left a trail of, probation in his wake, which led to Galen Hall, which led to the end of the Galen Hall thing. And then by the time Dan was four, he was like, what's going on in Gainesville? And people were going, my God, the SEC, they're throwing the football now. And it was because of Steve Spurrier. So when I say lowest point in program history, for almost everyone listening, that's true. Now, I will put a period there and close the quotes, because the next part, angry Twitter fan, with Billy Napier, we're going to get taken for a ride. I don't think that's true. He's in way over his head. I don't know. And the reason I say this is because I know he's a good coach, and I know he's a good organizer, and he will out everybody that he then employs. He checks every box so many ways, and such a good guy and person and coach and knowledgeable and just techniques. I mean, like fundamental things. Just it's so many positives. And he is not running a football team and program the way that it's supposed to be done today. Now, I don't coach, he does. And I didn't even get an interview. This is what I'm talking about. This is on Billy Napier. The 2023 season is already over. When I say the mustard seed was this thing Utah and the Pac-12 did, and by the way, I'm sure somebody brought it up. Hey, y'all want to tell the Gators? Heck no. After how they treated us trying to get out of town, I don't know if they treated you anyway. But nah, let them hear about it on the crawl. That's what this was supposed to be about. And as I started looking more and more at the coming season, and then I put the schedule down and went back to kind of looking at the team, I've told you, Chaminade, this is basketball. So Chaminade, go Google your computer, Chaminade, Virginia. People didn't believe the final score to the point that there were news stations. Chaminade was basically a club team, and they beat the number one team in America, Virginia, in basketball, before the three-point shot. So there were news stations that got the score called in, and they said, that's wrong. Announced Virginia as the winner. Chaminade didn't win. So Chaminade happens. And I try to say that phrase like pots and pans, right? I try not to be a pots and pans guy. 2023 season is already over. And it's not about, and you start at Utah, and then I think you lose at home to Tennessee. It's not even about that. That was the second step. The first step was the mustard seed. My gosh, the Pac-12 in Utah, they probably had themselves a chuckle. The second step was when I actually did look at the schedule, and do you know what the big red flag, not pink, not off red, I mean blood dripping off the, do you know what that big, giant, blood dripping red flag was? I'm looking at the Florida Gators football schedule for the approaching season, and I realized subconsciously I cared. I made a note of where the Kentucky game was being played and where the South Carolina game was being played, folks. When I'm Florida, it doesn't matter where we're playing Kentucky, and it doesn't matter where we're playing South Carolina. And again, I caught myself just going down. I was like, Charlotte and then Kentucky. Oh, that's there. Not supposed to ever matter. It matters. I was like, all right, home for Vanderbilt. And I was like, ooh, at South Carolina. I was like, it's not supposed to matter. And brother, it matters. So that was the second step in this. But do you know the reason that the 2023 season is already over in Gainesville? And by the way, I take no joy in this. And I welcome any Florida fan, coach, I don't know, Steve Spurrier, coach, you listen. Get with me. I'm serious. I want Shane Matthews. Somebody tell me this one question. It's all I need to know. When I say the 2023 season is already over, I'm saying as far as improving versus last season. Well, Chuck, how can you say that? Because you're not gaining on Georgia with Graham Mertz as your quarterback. And I invite anyone to tell me how I'm wrong about that. No way, no how. That's not the quarterback he is. Not against the backdrop of this is the team he'd have to Superman to a second place finish in the East. When I'm talking about gaining on Georgia, you ain't catching Georgia or passing Georgia. That's not possible. They could have a string of like food poisoning and felonies and all kinds of stuff. You ain't catching them, not this year. And I'm talking about the 2023 season. Okay, so if that's not happening, what's next? Well, second in the East. Graham Mertz is a skilled, experienced quarterback, smart, works hard, good kid. I'm sure his grades are fine. When I say that no way, no how, that's not the quarterback he is. Not against the backdrop of this team that you're not special in any area other than probably running backs. And running backs, you may be elite if you use them correctly. And I'm not going to say I know more than the coaches, but my gosh, give that kid the ball more. If you look at the makeup of this team and what it would take from whomever is the quarterback, this is Cam Newton sort of stuff. This is Manziel sort of stuff. Like, the defense, it's awful. And not like a couple of years ago, it was awful for Florida. No, it's just awful now. Angry Twitter fan was right. And this season is already gone. I don't know, again, Florida fan or Shane Matthews. Florida coach now or Coach Spurrier. Somebody tell me, are you going to redshirt and develop to catch Kirby Smart? That's a yes or no question. Because you are not attacking the portal and transfers and recruiting as if you think it's going to happen that way. Like import of immediate talent. You are not bringing players into the program as if you think this immediate influx of talent is going to make the difference. So the only other choice, you either have the immediate impact or, hey, we're a redshirt and develop program. So I need somebody to tell me how you're going to redshirt and develop and catch Kirby Smart. You're going to establish a culture, start building the overall talent level. 1-85, yet no. That's not what this is anymore. Josh Heupel seems to know that. Folks, I'll give Eli credit for the knowledge of the situation, even though he hasn't figured out the combination of the lock yet. I'll give him credit. Eli's like, all right, let's do it again. Jake Garcia. Nobody cares about Florida anymore, and this goes way, 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 way beyond Florida State and the ACC and whatever they told you in November. My goodness, this season, it's already done. You're on to year three before we can even talk about you gaining on Georgia. And by the way, that you're Florida. That's supposed to be the goal. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll jump into it next.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on Chuck Oliver Show. And we are pushing the borders, expanding things, 9 states, 60 sticks every day. I can't even thank you enough for the blessing. It's wonderful. Open the cabinets. There's food in there. I flip the switch. The room gets bright because college football conversation. So thank you all for making that possible. There are times I do this. And by the way, in my professional life and a lot of my personal pursuits, all I do all day is college football. And still, I do this. So you get a pass because we're fans and we get excited and we get used to stuff. One of the most unfair things we do is we will look at a new coach and go, there's too much talent. You inherited plenty of them because we see the side of the helmet. In the case of Oklahoma's, the Sooners, OU's defense last year, they were really, really like very not good. Too much talent. It's Oklahoma. They got 2 5-star defensive recruits in this year's signing, like the one from 6 weeks ago. There are 2 5-star recruits in this year's Oklahoma signing class, 2 high school kids who are 5-star defensive players. Those are the first 2 5-star defensive recruits that program has brought in since a kid named Caleb Kelly 7 years ago. So when we say all that talent there, in this case, it wasn't quite as much talent as we were laying on Brent Venables when he showed up. Now, that's on him to fix. But that defense, it was not good last year, and there were some reasons for it. Part of it was the roster. I want to welcome on right now. We're going to talk defense and offense and all kinds of stuff. A good buddy of ours from 1430 out yonder in Tulsa, 94.7 OKC. It is Tyler McComas. Brother, how you doing today?
Spring football's here, man, so I'm in my element just like you. we got that in common.
Yeah, we have a good time talking quarterbacks and points and everything, but we know what Brent Venables is about. And I'm going to say, there were a lot of Saturdays last year. The offense kind of would have been okay. The defense in Norman was not good enough. I said, we see the side of the helmet and go, well, they're too talented for that. You've been there every day. You've seen this up close. It wasn't quite the level of talent that somebody who doesn't see the program, you know, every single Saturday, we just say, oh, yeah, Oklahoma, they finished with the 8th-ranked recruiting class. There were some assumptions made about the overall level of talent, and it wasn't quite that, was it?
No, it really wasn't. And, I mean, if you would have said that to me a year ago, I'm not sure that I would have believed that either. But, you know, you look back at it now and you say, okay, last year they're trying to fill holes with a defensive line transfer from Tulane. You know, maybe someone from Louisville. Like not Louisville necessarily because they're in the ACC, but there were a lot of like non-Power 5 players that you were getting, a defensive lineman from Hawaii. And not to say that you can't get a good player from a non-Power 5 school, but they were getting a lot of transfer portal players from non-Power 5 schools to try and play impact positions. And we thought it was just going to be fine because, well, Brent Venables is a defensive coordinator. He has good defense. Like you're saying, the talent level isn't there like it was, you know, in previously maybe. This year you get, you know, a transfer from Indiana who's one of the top 10 portal players out there on defense. You get Trace Ford from Oklahoma State, who early on in his career was really good. You get Jacob Lacey from Notre Dame. Like, you just see the difference in, like, type of school that OU got transfer portal players from. The 2 5-stars you just talked about, yeah, the talent wasn't there last year, but the reason for optimism is this roster defensively, I don't know how good it's going to be, but it definitely looks like it was a lot better than it was a year ago.
Can I ask you just a curiosity? If you're the Corey Grant on the 2013 Auburn team, he was one of the backup running backs, and he was a transfer from Alabama. And there were folks who acted like Gus Malzahn had punched their kid in the face, Bama fans, by taking one of our players to Auburn. Anybody, like, are we all past that now, a decade later? You talked about Trace Ford coming over from Stillwater. Is that, it may be, but is it still a big thing in a rivalry like that?
It's a big thing for Oklahoma State around here, I can tell you that much.
Okay.
Doug Gottlieb basically told him on Twitter to return his O jacket that they give out there. He got death threats. I mean, it was
wow.
It makes you feel like you are really an SEC school, honestly, with some of the things
welcome
that
to the
were
conference.
Said to Trace Ford. Yeah, I mean, it was a big deal around here. Now, OU fans, I don't think there's anyone that's been saying, well, we don't want an Oklahoma State guy. I think you're so desperate right now for defensive line depth, you'll take it from wherever, including your rival school. But, OSU fans, it's been a big deal around here.
All right, like I said, because it was 10 years ago, and I was thinking, are we so jaded now that we don't care about that? Tyler, it is awesome to hear that sort of spirit is alive and well, I guess. All right, I'm going to ask you, I can't pronounce the kid's name, but I was talking about the 2 5-star recruits. One of them is a big. He's an edge, and he's from Kansas City, and I don't know if you've been able to eyeball him in person, but he looks like he looks right. And then a safety as well, a big rangy kid who may still be growing into his body. Any ideas for 2023 for either of those kids?
PJ Adebare is the 5-star edge that you're talking about out of the Kansas City area. He's going to play. He's going to be an instant impact guy. I mean, he has a body type that you just don't see on a regular basis.
It's like that Alden Smith thing, you know. If you remember,
yeah.
It was like where it looks long, and it's like, all right, which side is he on? I need to know right now.
Yeah, so if anyone out there paid attention to the Big Ten last year, you might remember his brother, Tommy Adebare, that played for Northwestern. And I just looked at a mock draft yesterday on ESPN, and Tommy Adebare is now a projected first-round pick to the Dallas Cowboys at the end of the first round. So that's the type of bloodline that we're talking about. But here's the thing, is his brother is projected now to be a first-round pick. But you ask anybody, and you just look at the two side by side, PJ is just more God-given. Like, he's just more athletically God-given than his older brother is. So if his older brother is a projected first-round pick, and he absolutely tore it up at the combine, what's the ceiling for PJ? Well, around here, there's a thought that maybe he's a top 5, top 10 pick by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, Tyler, I apologize, brother. We got a hard outcome, and I got to jump in. I didn't even get to Peyton Bowen, but it means we got to have you on again. Tyler McComas, appreciate his time again.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
Tulsa, OKC, every single day we break. Back with more of the Chuck Oliver Show next.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
If you are listening to the Chuck Oliver Show, it means you have some degree of affinity for college football, which means, I'm telling you folks, one of the coolest jobs in the world, and one that is, it is my end of the rainbow. It is what I want to do as like my final job. And here's the thing, this cool job, everybody listening right now on a game day, all of us do it for free. Our next guest actually gets paid to do it. But what is a tailgate? What is the 2-hour drive to the wherever the stadium is, and then the setup and the booze and the smoke and the food and all that other stuff? What is, you know what that is? That's a pregame show. Now, there's only like 4 of us in the car, so it's a small audience, but that's a pregame show. And then what do we do in the drive home? It's a postgame show. We all do that show on our own every single Saturday. Hunt Palmer actually gets paid to do it. That is, it's the coolest thing going. And he also is on every 1 to 3 afternoon, 104.5 Yonder. in Baton Rouge. It is Hunt Palmer. Brother, how you doing today?
Doing very good, Chuck. How are you?
Doing good. That whole pregame, postgame thing, man, I can't. That to me is the end of the rainbow, like I said, employment-wise, because you get to talk about literally nothing but your favorite team, the team on hand, the team at the stadium, everything, and then the postgame, turn it on, and here come the calls, man.
It's a dream come true. It's a lot more fun when they go 15-0 and win the Heisman
sure.
National Championship than when they lose to Troy, which I've also been on the postgame show for. But it's a lot of fun. We have fun pregame, and I know a lot of people are – Baton Rouge is not known for its traffic flow, so people are stuck with us in the postgame, and that's okay with us.
All right. I want to talk about a position, like if we get in the DeLorean and go back a year ago or even like to August, I remember I actually pulled up an article that said – and it was talking about running backs, and at the very end it said – and former walk-on Josh Williams is running sixth. I was like, that's the only thing I could find from him, like, the first week of August. And he wound up, like, being one real tough guy, really good blocker, led team in rushing, whatever. Can that be Trey Holly for 2023? Because there's an opportunity for somebody in spring.
Well, he's getting a ton of it in the spring because there just aren't very many running backs
yeah.
out there. Josh Williams is out with a knee injury. Armani Goodwin is out until the summer. John Emery is focusing on academics this spring, so he's not out there. It's basically Noah Cain, the Penn State transfer, and then Trey Holly, who's an early enrollee. So, yeah, he's an incredibly talented young back, and he's going to get a lot of reps in this spring. He apparently, after the first day of practice, went over to Brian Kelly, and it was just like a kind of almost a walkthrough. And he's like, Coach, my head's kind of spinning a little bit. He goes, just calm down. Just show up and be there. We'll help you. It's a lot of reps right now, but that's good for a young player.
All right. Broaden my understanding of Josh Williams because, again, I kept going back to, man, he's tough. Boy, he's a good blocker. He also was productive with the football. What is the offensive, like the numbers we recognize, not like what he grades out at Pro Football Focus on blitz pickup. What's the blue sky for him just raw production-wise? Yards, touchdowns, all that?
You know, he can be a productive SEC back. He's not going to look like Darius Geis or Leonard Fournette or Jeremy Hill or Joseph Addai or Jacob Hester. He doesn't profile as an NFL running back. But if you block it, he'll get it, and he'll catch it out of the backfield. Yeah, I think they're going to have a rotation at running back this year, so expecting him to potentially this year run for 1,100 yards and 14 touchdowns, that's not going to happen. But he's a capable veteran back that I think the word that they always go back to is they trust him. They trust him to be in the right spot. They trust him to do the right thing. While John Emery's got fumble problems and some of the guys have had injury issues and whatnot, he's been reliable. Now, he's having injury issues this spring and he's not going to be out there, but he will certainly factor in next year.
Continuing, Hunt Palmer again. Listen to him every day, 1-3, 104.5 FM there in Baton Rouge. All right, let's talk about quarterback and development and just how this pie is going to be divided up. I mean, there's no mystery to starter and backup and whatever, but starter and role of the backup, because I think the SEC championship game kind of changed things, and I'm waiting to be dissuaded now that spring practice has started. Is there anything you can report to tell me that last year, like Nussmeier, he's got a role, man?
Yeah, Brian Kelly did speak fairly directly on that a couple of weeks ago and said it would take some sort of, I can't remember exact phraseology, but it was some sort of precipitous drop-off from Jaden Daniels and a massive move from Garrett Nussmeier for Jaden not to be the starting quarterback who got the vast majority of the in-game reps. So that's been communicated to them, and I think that was communicated to the entire room of quarterbacks when Walker Howard decided to move on, and Garrett Nussmeier said, I'm going to stick around. I wasn't privy to those exact conversations, but you kind of feel like the communication was an open one, and that's the decision everybody made. Jaden Daniels said, I'm going to come back and not do the NFL. Garrett Nussmeier said, yeah, this is kind of where I want to be, and Walker Howard looked up and went, well, I probably need to look for some greener pastures, so he's headed to Oxford. So Jaden Daniels is the guy, but Jaden Daniels got banged up a couple of times last year, and there were some times where LSU's offense bogged down. It wasn't very good in the first half against Florida State. It wasn't very good in the first half against Mississippi State. And you may need a spark. And Garrett Nussmeier now is no longer some, you know, kind of wild card gunslinger type that we haven't seen. He's played a little bit. He played against Georgia. And so he's very capable of going in there and either giving the team a spark, or when you're fairly slender, run-heavy quarterback gets banged up a little bit, you've got a guy that you can lean on that can go score you some points.
Okay, I'm supposed to know stuff, and I had watched him in pregame twice, and then stuff on video. Did you know Nussmeier had that whip? Because it was impressive, man. I'm talking about velocity.
No, we enjoyed watching him right when he showed up and kind of running the scout team. And at that point, decision-making was kind of out the window. He's brand new, and their bullets are flying, and he was just letting it rip. And he might throw a pick or two, but he'd also hit a 65-yard touchdown pass and start running down the field like a crazy person. There was just a lot of kind of Johnny Manziel-esque jubilation with him on the practice field, and he's just kind of an infectious personality and somebody that we were drawn to on the practice field before he ever even got out there when it was an actual game.
All right, two guys that I want to ask about. One of them is one of my favorites that I'm pulling for, Armani Goodwin. When is he going to be back and able to kind of start laying claim, like plant a flag to some part of that pie graph?
He was the one guy that Brian Kelly said yesterday is not even going to be ready for the beginning of summer workouts. They expect him to be a full go. They expect him to be a full go for fall, but there were nine guys, scholarship guys, that were unavailable for spring. But they expect when summer workouts start that eight of those will be back, and the one that wouldn't would be Armani Goodwin.
All right, and the other is a big one, Mason Smith.
He's out there, not going through drills, but obviously he went down in the first quarter of the Florida State game. They're going to take it easy on him, but anticipate him to be absolutely a full go in the summer and ready to work. And he actually gave a really good quote about Mason Smith yesterday, saying that last year we had a real good presence on the edge with Ojulari and Perkins and Ali Gay, and teams had to focus on that, and we didn't really take advantage on the interior with pass rush. We had some good players in the interior, Makai Wingo and Jaqueline Roy, and solid players, but the pass rush wasn't necessarily there. If you cheat to our ends this year and leave Mason Smith by himself, the quote was, I don't know how many sacks he's going to have because we can't block him. So there's a lot of anticipation, and he's going to be a pillar of the defense, but they're going to give him the rest of the spring to rest that knee up, and he'll be full go for summer workouts.
Is there a home series for baseball planned the day of the spring game?
I think the spring game is a little bit up in the air on depth right now. They have six offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah, they got no linemen.
And they're struggling with the defensive line, too. No Makai Wingo, no Jordan Jefferson, no Deshaun Womack, the five-star, is not out there right now. So they're a little light in the trenches. But I honestly, that's something I should look at. To be quite frank, I am so knee-deep in baseball right now, and so is this town, that I haven't even looked at when the spring's over.
Oh, but that's what I'm asking. If there was a spring game and across the street the baseball team's playing, there's no choice involved, is there?
Not if Paul Skeens is pitching. It's going to be a full Alec Box and some people checking on the YouTube highlights when that rolls around.
Yep, and if you wind up winning the SEC this year, man, that's not nothing. That is a loaded, loaded conference, at least early before everybody starts, you know, whatever they do. All right, Hunt, appreciate it as always, man. A lot to get caught up on, but so many of the guys I want to ask for, I'm like, no, he's not practicing. Oh, I did want to ask one thing. Is there any general takeaway or opinion about Jaden being – he got kind of fancy with his coaching this offseason, didn't he?
Yeah, that was something they talked about. He was able to go out to California and do some work, and it's all kind of a progression towards what can make him the best quarterback. And I think Brian Kelly wants his guys here in Baton Rouge, but he was willing to kind of play by those rules if he would get Jaden back for another year. So yeah. It's just part of – like I said, I think there was a really open line of communication between the coaching staff and all the quarterbacks that were here. That's what you have to do now, because if you don't, you're going to end up with some unhappy quarterbacks that are out the door in a hurry. So – Jaden Daniels got to do kind of what he wanted to do, and now he's back here for the spring.
All right, Hunt, appreciate the input, brother. It's always great. Thank you, man.
You bet, Chuck. Thanks.
Hunt Palmer, 104.5. Appreciate him coming on. Before we break, do want to mention quickly, I'll make it quickly. There's no reason to harp. So we talked about the silliness with Tony Mitchell, the four-star freshman defensive back at Alabama. He's now suspended defensive back at Alabama, Tony Mitchell. Here's the headline, and it was accurate whenever it was, like Sunday or Monday. Alabama freshman defensive back arrested for weed. And it was true. And he had weed. And when I saw intent to traffic or distribute, I was like, all right, a lot of weed. How much weed? I don't know how much weed you need for a party. He was in Panama City, so, you know, there's that. But apparently they had a bunch of weed, so much that you could bump up the charge. So that's all we knew was, well, it was more than just for him, but I still just weed. And then Nick Saban's comments, and now some of the details, like actually all the details. According to police, and that's across the whole, according to police. Suspended Alabama defensive back Tony, I don't think he's ever going to play at Alabama. That's my opinion. Suspended defensive back Tony Mitchell was driving 141 miles an hour. Dan, did you know this? 141 miles an hour. Not when he was clocked by police. Driving 141 as he was attempting to flee the police. See, he was clocked at 78. That's when he punched it, which, by the way, that's his phrase. That's when he decided to punch it in his Dodge Challenger. Of course it is. It's just, it's he's about 50 miles away from Panama City. And he's over near the Alabama-Florida border. And police clocked him going 78 as Tony Mitchell speeds by in his black Dodge Challenger. He was eventually clocked at 141 before they lost visual of the vehicle. 7 minutes later, they were stopped at a nearby location. Police smelled marijuana, whatever. So he admitted to all of it. Danny also had a gun. So they've got a lot more weed than is an interesting description. Intent to distribute, which means sell or deliver. Like, I'm just the courier. You got a gun. Yeah, say, and you were going 78 and a 55. What is our life rule? We got sports rules. Like, you know, for Tony Mitchell, do you know what a sports rule is? Don't get beat to the corner. You have to be as deep as the deepest receiver. You know, whatever it is. But his life rule? If you're breaking the law, don't break the law. If you've got 8 ounces of marijuana in the car and a firearm that you say, oh, I have it, but it's not mine. But, oh, yeah, I'm carrying it, but it's not mine. I don't know whose it is. I just have it. Because who among us hasn't had a loaded weapon with us and 8 ounces of weed that we just, it was, well, yeah, it's here, but it's not mine. Loaded 9mm. So this kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And my gosh, it was after what just happened, tragedy, whatever. So the kid's trying to make his money, I guess. Because that sounds like, according to the police, intent to distribute, which is sell, or deliver, which is I'm the courier and I got to have my protection. So, and he admitted, he's like, yep, I punched it. This is far more than just silly. I did silly kid stuff. I did. And I told you, I drove an IROC, and there were times, and I was a really, 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 really good, I'll say good kid up until, you know, you graduate college, and then you're certainly not a kid anymore at that point. I was a really good kid, and I'm not, understand, that's not a brag or even a humble brag. I was a really good kid to the point of probably not being really much fun. So that's who I was. Like every fraternity, what do you have to have? All right, we need 3 responsible people. All right, who are the so you basically you find the 3 most responsible people and go, all right, y'all go figure out who's going to do what. I was one of the 3 because that's the 3 unfun people. I was a really good kid. I had an IROC. I didn't go 141. I did really unwise stuff. I didn't do it with, I don't know, a brick of weed and a loaded 9. I didn't. So when it was freshman had some weed, I think, do you remember the Friday or the Thursday, was it? Dan, you remember this. Nick Marshall, he's supposed to be at media days like that Sunday evening. He gets stopped on a Friday afternoon with like, it was marijuana residue. Like literally it said there was some powder. He's suspended. Tony Mitchell, I was like, yeah, he got a bag of weed. He's going to be fine. It's a bunch of weed, and there was a gun, and he was going 140. I don't know. My opinion, he won't play at Alabama. All right, we're going to break. Come back. Wrap up Hour 1 next.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I think Jackson is throwing really well. I actually was out in California. He happened to be at the same place as Knox throwing. Spencer was a little limited in throwing initially, but he was out there today taking reps. So excited for all three guys. Much different than where we were a year ago.
No disrespect to Tulane, but Mercer, Tulane, Georgia Tech. There's what Lane Kiffin has going for him to start the season, in addition to a lot of talent. But that is the Ole Miss head coach, and he is discussing, man, I like listening to Lane Kiffin talk football. Gosh, he was always a good coach. When he had his one season at Tennessee, will we go back, please, now and look? See, that was Lane at his, you know, he would say behavior. I think, I don't know this. I'm not going to speak for him, but I think he would say, yeah, he's a different person than I think. And maybe he would say he's matured, knows more. When he football back then, go look at his season at Tennessee. Go look what came right after him. Go look what happened right before him. They were pretty good. Like, what he conjured up, he walked to the cabinets, opened it, and said, all right, what do we got here? And then he made a meal. And it was a little bit like, what is it, Chopped, where they open the basket and you're like, all right, I got to do something here. It was a little bit like that. It's not perfect. You're like, what's that taste? Oh, it's graham cracker crust. Oh, okay. Well, I usually don't have that in my brisket. There was some of that, but he also kind of made it work. At Tennessee, Jonathan Crompton was the quarterback? Is that right? Yeah, I think it was. So he's got talent, but he also has imperfection. Jackson Dart, he's talented. He's not exactly – Matt Corral had 49 touchdowns in 23 games. You don't think about that for a second? Yeah, okay. So he had – that was Matt Corral. Jackson Dart is talented and had his own skill set, and it was on display, but it wasn't really exactly what anybody wanted, including Jackson Dart. So you bring in a former five-star from next door, which was always a chance to poke LSU in the eye, and get a five-star quarterback, which he could have been at Anchorage, Alaska, and you would have done it. And then a guy who started in a Power 5 conference, like played a bunch and started and had some success, also had some turnovers. But so there's talent, man, and experience, all kind of promise, and I just – so he says, I'm big on the room. I'm big on the fact that at the most important position in this or any sport, you start the season with Mercer at Tulane home against Georgia Tech. And the at Tulane thing is not a free dub. It is not a bye week. It is not just go enjoy New Orleans. I think it's go enjoy New Orleans and win by 17, but it's not just that. Tulane is a very real opponent who could beat you, especially if you have an unsettled quarterback position that suddenly you've handled it wrong. And by the way, if this goes sideways, it's the same as anything with a quarterback. Some of it's on the sidelines. So, yeah, you could derail this by just injecting whatever drama. There's a lot at risk. I don't think any of that's going to happen. I think Lane's going to crack the code because that's what he does. But any coach in this situation right now, any coach, there would be a lot at risk. A lot to figure out. Dan, how's your Wednesday?
You could even throw former quarterbacks out as well because yeah. – I think you touched on this a little bit yesterday that Cam Newton threw at the Auburn Pro Day on Tuesday. And before he threw at said Pro Day, he had put out a video basically announcing a comeback. Not basically, he was announcing a comeback, calling out, what was it, 32 randos that are better than me. I forget exactly what he said. No issue with that. That's fine. You want to say that you're going to be out there? Cool. Go out there. Go do all those things. Meet with the media afterwards when they ask you for a comment. Because his response was to the media, apparently, it was, I don't want to take away attention from my brother and from the other participants that are here today. Oh, Cam, I hate to tell you, buddy, you already did that by putting out a little promo video by saying you're going to be out there doing all of these different types of things. See, when you announce something on your own and you do something like that, then you need to be able to answer for it. I mean, what would have hurt Cam right there just to say, hey, I'll give you guys about two or three questions because I got to go. But, hey, it was great to be out here. Happy for my brother. Happy for everybody else. Happy I could help them out today and be able to, get them some exposure for NFL teams. But instead to then come out and say, whoa, 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 you guys are the bad guys here. I'm the good guy. I wanted to put the shine on them. I wanted them to be able to get all the attention today. You knew what you were doing, and then as soon as you saw what comments were back to you, then you tried to say, oh, wait a minute, well, then I can't be the bad guy anymore.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an inconsistent thing because it was shining a white-hot spotlight on himself and then not kind of being there for the other end of it. But it's Cam. He'll be back in the spotlight at some point soon. I'm sure.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.